bring it? Oh, it's already been brought in. Dom and Crouse are the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the 4 o'clock happy hour. It rolls on. Dominic, before I introduce our newest guest and find one she will be, I want to thank David from Always Best Care of Madison. Also, Edible Arrangements, both of those companies are hiring. I've got one other to throw out there. This is a new process. I'm trying to get my you-know-what together. But Atlantis Valley Foods, located in Cottage Grove, Wisconsin, they're also hiring. They're looking for an experienced route driver Monday through Friday to deliver and stock fresh food, snacks, and beverages. I like all those things. At their micro markets across southern Wisconsin, the position offers health insurance, 401k, paid time off, and pays between $700 and $800 per week based on experience. Atlantis Valley is also seeking full-time warehouse and part-time order picking positions. A great opportunity to join their friendly, hardworking team, best in the business, fresh food service team. Again, it's AtlantisValley.com. And if you'd like to contact someone regarding that position, ask for Brian or email your resume at sales@AtlantisValley, you know, like Atlantis, the lost city, AtlantisValley.com. And now that we've got the hiring out of the way, we welcome back a fine friend. She used to do a show around here. She is Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. Most importantly, she's a friend of ours. Maggie, always love when you come around. Thank you so much.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, guys. Great to be back with you.
Thank you.
You look very respectable today. Not that you don't always, but...
Maggie, you look fantastic, but I do know you got a little darker hair today.
Yeah.
That's, I do. Yes. So let me just get this straight. On the radio, you guys both pointed out that I typically don't look respectable, A.
No.
And B, that my roots have grown out. I mean, I love it. It's great.
I like the dark hair. You wear it well.
I think you look spectacular, especially on the radio, just like me. I'm always super sexy on the radio, Maggie.
We've all got that face for radio, that's yes. For sure.
Well, we miss you around here, Maggie, but we always love when you come around, and let's talk a little politics. What'd you think of Tony Evers through the courts today seeking that Donald Trump personally pay the lawsuits, the unmeritorious lawsuits? Obviously, we've had lawsuits challenging the electoral results in Wisconsin. Does Tony have any chance that the litigant that's being challenged in this case, I guess that'd be Trump. Trump's not going to have to pay these fees, is he?
No, it's the difference between a campaign and you know, the committees that support them and the folks, the actual plaintiffs that brought the lawsuits. And the interesting point here is that Donald Trump himself was never actually a plaintiff. Now, as we've all said, he may look like an idiot, but he's not. And this is yet another example of how he lets other people do his dirty work. And then when the dirty work comes splashing back, he somehow manages to avoid that. One of those.
Careful in the splash zone.
Exactly. He's got like, you know, like Reagan was the Teflon guy, right? He's got the permanent rain jacket on. He's in the splash zone, but none of it hits him. I don't know why he does it. It's pretty impressive.
Maggie Dawn, I also see that the Republicans that control the legislative levers of power in the state of Wisconsin have okayed about $680,000 in taxpayer money to fund a post-election cyber forensic ninja audit of some sort. Here in the state of Wisconsin, this is to the point of embarrassment, and it's all being funded with taxpayer money. Want to get your opinion.
You could probably fill in my opinion for me, but we're on radio and there's the FCC. So insert series of expletives here. To me, this is one of the most absurd abuses of power. It's anti-democratic. It's supporting an authoritarian. It's fealty to an individual, not a democratic process. And oh, by the way, we've already had an audit, as I've said on your show before. That is what a recount is. It is an audit with rules and observers from both parties and courts that then review the process of the recount, which we should just start calling an audit, okay? So now you want to audit the audit, but without any rules, sort of in cloak and dagger, and dump nearly $750,000 of taxpayer money on something that's not going to find anything that hasn't already been sufficiently investigated anyways. Let's not forget and keep in mind that those original recounts in Dane and Milwaukee County already cost our taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars. So you really have to think of this as cumulative cost to taxpayers, both taxpayers that vote Republican and Democratic, to pursue the big lie, the hoax of the century, that there was somehow widespread irregularities in our election that would swing this thing to the great orange man. Just ain't gonna happen. Just light those dollars on fire. Let's not, you know, help with education or build roads or help with mental health or any of those things. Let's just, you know, light up a bunch of hundreds on fire so that Robin Voss can peacock his way into another election.
Well, it's a small price to pay with your taxpayer dollars.
It's easy when it's not your money. Isn't that funny? It's just, oh, sure, we'll spend that. Unbelievably irresponsible, immoral, anti-democratic, for shame.
Our pal Maggie Don joining us via the Zoom. Well, I guess this kind of tails into what happened yesterday. Detroit U.S. District Judge Linda Parker, she lit up the Kraken team. Apparently, they have to pay legal fees, undergo legal education, and in specifically election law. And why would they need to do that? And also be referred for possible investigation and perhaps disbarment. Maggie Don, this is just one state, one judge, but damn, how do you think this is going to go?
Oh, I love it. Like, Linda, I don't know. Can somebody, like, quickly make Linda Parker t-shirts? Because I want one. She's my new hero. This doesn't, a judicial rebuke of this sort does not happen. I'll just say that. A judicial rebuke of this sort does not happen. Full stop. I have never heard in my entire career of any judge ever referring lawyers for possible, actually writing it for possible suspension or disbarment. It happened. Now that happens every once in a while, but it's extraordinarily rare. I've never seen it in my practice. But it's not just that. It's the requirement of education and the imposition of attorney's fees and additional costs and fines on those lawyers and the parties that brought those suit. The language here is absolutely stunning. In this decision, U.S. District Judge Linda Parker just basically went after these lawyers. She accused Trump's attorneys of, quote, undermining the people's faith in our democracy. This lawsuit represented a historic and profound abuse of the judicial process. This was an 110-page ruling. It is one thing to take on the charge of vindicating rights associated with an allegedly fraudulent election. It is another to take on the charge of deceiving a federal court and the American people into believing that their rights were infringed without regard to whether any laws or rights were in fact violated. That is what happened here. She goes on, this case was never about fraud. It was about undermining the people's faith in our democracy and debasing the judicial process to do so. I'm going to continue because the language is just so extraordinary. While there are many arenas, including print, television, social media, where protestations, conjecture, and speculation may be advanced, such expressions are neither permitted nor welcomed in a court of law. And while we as a country pride ourselves on the freedoms embodied within the First Amendment, it is well established that an attorney's freedom of speech is circumscribed upon entering the courtroom. This is largely referred to as the duty of candor to the court. We cannot misrepresent the law and we cannot lie about facts. And that is precisely what Donald Trump's attorneys did. They lied about the law. They lied about the facts. And the whole lot of them, as I've been talking with you guys over these many months, should be disbarred and never permitted to set foot in a U.S. courtroom again. For shame.
Now, Maggie, this was a Michigan court. What happens in, could this happen in every other state that they filed these kinds of lawsuits in?
Yes, indeed. In fact, yesterday, Milwaukee County filed for attorney's fees in our own Trump lawsuits that we had to defend. And we didn't use any kind of inflammatory language. We just simply pointed out that this was all fantasy and that there was no reasonable basis upon which any of these lawyers could ever have reasonably relied, no facts, no law, certainly not to bring the claims that they did, but more insidiously to assert the remedies that they did, which were to throw out millions and millions of votes and effectively remand the election to the state legislature. I'm sorry, I missed the part in the Constitution that just says, forget all those voters. Let's just let the electeds pick the president. That is not what we do here. So really quite extraordinary. No. And we'll be seeing a decision that at least in the Wisconsin case would be issued by a Trump-appointed district court judge. So keep your eye on this space. It certainly will be interesting to see what happens.
It is extraordinary. Maggie, what kind of dollar amount is Milwaukee County seeking?
It is in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. We actually were very lean and mean as to the amount of time that we incurred. We did use some outside counsel. So I think by my last count, it was just a hair under $200,000. But, you know, in a place like Milwaukee County, where we face structural deficits of approximately $30 million every year, while our costs to continue doing business at the same level that we've had before continue to go up, while our shared revenues coming back to us from the state go down, even though Milwaukee County and the city are by far the largest tax contributor to the state's general fund, we're in a pickle. Every penny counts. So I am very hopeful that we will get reimbursed for those hundreds of thousands of dollars.
And Maggie, you know, as you describe what these attorneys have done, it's so much worse than just filing a bad lawsuit. If whether or not their E&O insurance will cover it, they all get guilty, they declare bankruptcy, they don't have the money to pay it. Any chance that they could go to jail for anything that they did? I mean, this is some egregious stuff. I mean, really, and you see the assembly speaker here in Wisconsin is still kind of going, this storyline still exists, and they were a big part of laying down the foundation for this big lie storyline as why they did it. Any chance they could go to jail for anything like that?
I'll say little to none. It would be certainly a novel legal theory that would probably have to go somewhere along the lines of this, that they engaged in a knowing and intentional fraud designed to effectively misappropriate taxpayer dollars into a distractionary piece of litigation, which they knew at all times was based on nothing in fact or law. Very hard to prove that because you have to prove intent, and proving intent means actually getting inside of someone's head to do so. Do I think it might be impossible? No, but it certainly would be a novel legal theory. This is one of those moments where, and we've often talked about this, guys, where you really would love to see the Democratic Party go on the offensive. I say that, and yet in the next breath, I will say this. It's like a screaming toddler. Do you keep giving it candy to make it shut up? You know, in other words, if we give it more attention, we continue to litigate these sorts of nonsense claims. You know, does that actually sort of prolong the big lie, right? To me, one of the most draconian things that can happen to a lawyer is disbarment. And if the courts take seriously that duty of candor, they should be looking seriously at disbarring all of these attorneys, because that hits them where their pocketbook is. And we've seen Giuliani go down, Michael Cohen, you know, Roy
Oh, no. Maggie's internet went down. We'll bring her back during the
break. Yep. Sorry, guys.
Well, you know, there's always Cameo. But the last time I was in a court of law and I was the defendant in this case, and the attorney, my fine, capable attorney, Jeff Scott Olson, said, if we're talking about motive and conduct, my client's guilty, guilty, guilty. And yet somehow I prevailed on the day.
I love it.
You got to have a good lawyer, and we got to find one right here with us on the Devil's Advocate. She's Maggie Dawn. Come back. More of this big show.
Release the Kraken.
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
The Kraken!
You're an idiot!
Hi, it's Rudy Giuliani, and I'm on Cameo.
The Devil's Advocates. They refuse to do math on the radio.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Maggie Dawn, our fine guest, sticking around for the last segment. We certainly appreciate it. Maggie, a big week. Want to get your take. Benny Thompson, the chairman of the January 6th Commission, not only has reached out to, you know, phone companies, but today, social media platforms asking for information. Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and even Parler, Google, Reddit, Snapchat,
TikTok. What about Gitter?
No Gitter yet, but 4chan and Gab are included, asked to supply information. Now, these are requests, to my understanding, so far, Maggie, not subpoenas. Why is that? Why even go through the rigmarole? Just force it.
Good question. I think they realize that as a political point, social media companies right now are under an incredible amount of pressure for their basically foundational, central, and, you know, prime role in the promotion of complete misinformation, as well as the role that they played in helping to incite this illegal insurrection. And so they're giving them the opportunity to come voluntarily forward with the information that they seek. If I'm the CEO of a social media company, I'm complying. But then again, I haven't been inspired as of late by Mark Zuckerberg's attempt to become a more transparent and accountable social media platform. So they'll let him take this shot at it, but I would presume that you're going to see subpoenas flying in short order.
Maggie, I wanted to ask you about the U.S. Supreme Court ruling earlier today, the Biden moratorium on evictions due to the COVID-19 pandemic, a 6-3 ruling. I believe it was along partisan lines. What do you think of the ruling?
Yeah, I haven't read it yet. I'll just say this. Extremely disappointing. You know, there are arguments about freedom of contract and interruption of contract and those kinds.
Uh-oh. Someone interrupted
when
her contract.
When there are extreme threats to, extreme threats to public health and safety. And the eviction results of the COVID-19 epidemic were predictable and are persistent right now. So, again, I think this is one of those times where the ivory tower fails to serve regular Americans well. And we should take heed of who voted which way in this very important case. And it was exactly down party lines. I looked at it close enough to see that fact.
Maggie, do you feel like this was something of a partisan ploy by the Biden administration in that? I don't know if they thought this executive order was even constitutional, but what their intent was to create time for funding that was already allocated to the states to go to the actual renters and perhaps landlords that needed it. Was this just a time-killing effort, to your opinion?
Whether it was or wasn't, it certainly had some effectiveness because it delayed evictions. And so when you look, if you are a policymaker, an elected official who actually cares about having a positive impact, this clearly did. It prevented some people from getting, not some, thousands and thousands of families from getting evicted. And so it served its purpose. So whether you call that sort of jaded political maneuvering or good practical policymaking, it worked.
Talking about bad policymaking, turning our attention to Florida and Ron DeSantis. The governor down there has been on the wrong side of science and humanity, quite frankly, in his reaction and handling of COVID. Over 900 deaths in Florida yesterday from COVID. And the governor there is seeking to ban schools from installing mask mandates. A Florida district court judge overruled him today. Of course, there'll be an appeal probably. But what's your opinion? Mask mandates and governors that would try to forebode them?
Dummies. If Biden can't institute an eviction moratorium, why can DeSantis institute a mask moratorium? Or, you know what I'm saying? It's sort of like And the, again, I will return to the idea that there are executive powers that exist in a NER only when there are imminent threats to public health and safety. And that widens the sphere of executive power, whether you're talking about on a state, local, or federal level. To take an affirmative step, which is against all Republican talking points, to rob school districts of local control, which is always what Republicans want to tout, and try to say, well, listen, let's be sure that this population of children under the age of 12 who are not yet vaccine eligible, who will clearly pass the Delta variant around like hotcakes, like Garbage Patch kid cards. I'm dating myself, kid of the 80s and 70s, right? Like baseball trading cards, like Pokemon today. I don't know what it is. These people that cannot be vaccinated, you can't wear masks, is not only like the stupidest thing I've ever heard. It borders on, again, as Mike said, anti-humanity, immoral, and just downright stupid. And now at least a federal judge has told him so.
Maggie, I don't know if you'd seen, but there is a recall effort underway in Wisconsin at the Mequon-Thiensville School District. Four school board members have effectively will be brought to recall election. And I've been listening, I've been paying attention, and they don't tell us why they want these school board members out. But my understanding is it's because they support mask mandates.
So sad, and it's happening across the country. You see video clips of, there was a guy that gave the Nazi salute at a school board meeting when it adopted mask mandates. School boards are supposed to be apolitical and nonpartisan. The partisanship that you usually see on school boards is sort of the teachers' unions and others, right? But to want to remove school board members who take reasonable, least invasive measures to protect the health, safety, and welfare, not just of children, but those that work in the schools, is, again, an exercise in the most acute display of idiocy that I've seen in a while. But hey, it's Mequon. What do you expect?
Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, our fine guest for about another 90 seconds or so. Well, I mean, I guess I'd rather have them, you know, arguing at the school board meetings than trying to, you know, kidnap or plan to kidnap a governor. A guy's been convicted in Michigan, getting 6 years for his role, and he's the one who's working with the prosecutors, rolling over on his pals. Maggie, what are your thoughts?
Well, we are on indeed a slippery slope. It may be the Nazi salute at one school board meeting and cut to the videos of school board members leaving their meetings, getting physically threatened. We know who you are and we know where you live. America has lost its collective mind, or at least the half that believes in Trump has lost its damn mind. It's a really sad state of affairs that people exercising their good faith best judgment now have to worry about their lives being put on the line. So sad.
Maggie Dawn, when will you announce your campaign for mayor of Milwaukee?
I just have to say this.
Say it quick.
It's not a comment on Barrett specifically, but boy, nothing like mediocre white men failing up.
Thank you, Maggie Dawn. Stick around. Earl's next.
I don't care what drug will work. Try a bunch of them.